Christ, it is easy to get a bit lost in the midst of the gospel passage that we just heard from the 17th chapter of John's gospel. As I read this passage, my initial reaction can be one of befuddlement. Jesus certainly seems to be taking a winding path in the midst of this soliloquy. When I've gotten to the end of it, I have found myself needing to return to the beginning, slow down, and reread it to try to figure out where it is going. What is the point of all this talk of making known, giving, belonging, keeping, receiving, believing, asking, glorifying, guarding, protecting, sanctifying? But the problem with that approach is that it fails to recognize that this is not just another one of Jesus' teachings, though there certainly is much to learn here. Instead, what we have received in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel is a record of something truly extraordinary. It is a record of the highest form of prayer, the ongoing conversation within God, an intimate and impassioned prayer from the Son to the Father on behalf of the people who would become God's church. And so if we find ourselves getting lost within this prayer, that is actually good thing. What better place is there to get lost than within God's holy conversation? At its best, at its richest, this is not a passage to be broken down into bits, diagrammed, and analyzed, but rather it is a passage to be experienced, to allow oneself to be enveloped in the deep experience of love that Jesus is expressing on our behalf. Jesus is offering this prayer, which is often referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus, after the Last Supper, just moments before he is to be betrayed and handed over for trial and execution. When he begins this prayer, he has just concluded what is often referred to as the farewell discourse, a lengthy parting soliloquy to his disciples. It begins just after his final meal with the disciples, where he has just washed their feet. In it, Jesus foretells of his betrayal. He summarizes his teachings and explains the role of his earthly ministry, promises that soon the Holy Spirit will come to them, and then in his farewell discourse, as he concludes it, he is trying to prepare his disciples for the days ahead when they will be persecuted. And he promises that a day will come when their sorrow will turn to joy. And after offering this summary discourse, much of which is rather gloomy, Jesus prays fervently for his disciples. That prayer, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, covers all of chapter 17. And we have heard most of it this morning. As Jesus prepares for the most difficult part of his ministry, as he prepares to set off across the Kidron Valley to the garden where he will be betrayed and arrested, he begins this prayer. In the verses immediately prior to today's gospel reading, he asks that God would glorify him, give him strength as he goes about finishing the work that God has sent him here to do. And then his prayer quickly turns outwardly focused as he prays a prayer of thanksgiving and intercession on behalf of all his disciples, and through them, us. In particular, he gives thanks for the work that they have already done, for who they are already becoming. And then he prays that God would protect them in the trying time to come. Every year on this Sunday, the seventh Sunday of Easter, our gospel reading turns to this high priestly prayer of Jesus. Last year we heard the first portion of that prayer. This year we hear the middle portion, and next year we will hear the end. The seventh Sunday of Easter is also known as the Sunday after the Ascension, because it is the only Sunday of the church year that falls between our commemoration of the Ascension, the resurrected Christ's exaltation to the right hand of the Father, which we celebrated at our midweek service this past week, and the subsequent gift of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate next Sunday on the Feast of Pentecost. Why then do we emphasize the high priestly prayer of Jesus on this Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost? One reason is that although this prayer takes place before the crucifixion, Jesus is through it clearly anticipating a time when he will no longer physically be with his disciples in the way that he has been up until then. Jesus is saying to God the Father, "I am leaving the world to return to you, but my disciples are staying. They need you. They need your Holy Spirit. They need your strength to go on." And so he prays for our protection and our sanctification in the time ahead. As we hear the high priestly prayer of Jesus, we can literally lose ourselves in the midst of the prayers of Jesus, who is now exalted to the right hand of God the Father, praying for us from the most powerful and exalted place in all of heaven and earth. In losing ourselves in this complex and rich tapestry of prayer, we can also find ourselves. Find ourselves as children of God, deeply loved, and deeply sustained by the faithful, ongoing, creative source of all life and love. In the backs of our prayer books, you can find the following definition of prayer in the midst of the Catechism. There it says that prayer is responding to God by thought and by deeds, with or without words. In other words, prayer is not a means by which we initiate a conversation with God, for God has already initiated the conversation. And the conversation is ongoing within God. God is praying for us and with us. God desires our participation in this holy conversation, for us to listen and to respond. Through our prayers in this life, we are being trained for the glory of our eternal occupation, when our conversation with God will be uninterrupted. By joining in the prayers of the eternal God, we are allowing ourselves to be molded, to be sanctified, consecrated, hallowed in truth. And it is prayers like the high priestly prayer of Jesus that we have heard this morning that continuously surround us and sustain us in this world, whether we are aware of it or not. And most of the time, we are not aware of it. But if we can take the time to allow ourselves to become soaked in this prayer, we can find ourselves and our lives being drawn into and joining with that ongoing, eternal, holy conversation. Called to offer ourselves to God in prayer. So that like those disciples whose feet had just been washed, we would be able to overhear and join in the prayers that the Son is offering to the Father on our behalf as He continues to send us out into the world to do His work.